There we go. Okay. Put it in my pocket.
It's my minute. Okay. Gemara Daf Nun has the Takanas Usha, right? Hamavaz Vezal Yavaz Vezyosim Echomesh. Right? So Gemara says, and the Gemara gives a reason. The Gemara says, Shema Yayoni Vitzdarach Labrius. Maybe you're going to get poor, and then you yourself will require tzedakah. You yourself will require tzedakah, and therefore, best not to give more than a chomesh. And the Gemara wants to know what's the makor for it. And the Gemara says, "Ma'ikra, v'chol asher titen li aser asrenu lach." Right. So that's the famous shvua that Yaakov makes after he wakes up from his dream with the sulam, and in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, and he says, "Anything that you give to me, aser asrenu lach. I'm going to take double meiser." Double meiser from it. So the Gemara has a kasha, and the Gemara says, wait a minute, how could that equal a chomesh? How does that equal 20%? Really, it should only be 19%. Right? Why is that? Because he says, I can't find the Gemara, but it's something to the effect of, halo dami isura basraisa isura kamaisa, or vice versa. Oh, there it is. Right, halo dami isura basra isura kama. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, the second tenth is actually once you've subtracted the first tenth. So if you figure it just out of 100, so I'm going to give a tenth and another tenth. So I'm going to give 10%, which is 10, and I'm left with 90. So I'm going to give 10% of that, which is 9. So I'm only going to give 19 out of 100. So I'm only giving 19%, not 20%. So how come we say, Mavazvez, Ayavazvez, Yosem Mechomesh? You should be Mavazvez 19%, not 20%. So the Gemara answers, no. Amravashi asrenu lebasra kikama. So when it says the phrase aser asrenu, so it means I'm going to give meiser from the second one like I gave meiser from the first one, right? Fine. And that's the Gemara's raya from the pasuk that amavazvez ayivazvez yosim echamish. Okay. So the question really is, as far as I'm concerned, I don't understand why we require a pasuk, meaning. If it was a takonis usha, so we said mikra chol asher titen li aser asrenu lo. Like, that's very nice, but what do we need that for? Why do we need there to be a pasuk which teaches me the takana of usha? And secondly, so memela, okay, so for whatever reason you've decided you need a pasuk, so then we ask a kasha based on the pasuk. Hello, dummy sura kamali sura basra. Okay, so they had an asmachta from the pasuk which says that you want to give over double meiser. So double meiser is 20%. So it's a nice asmachta from the pasuk that you should give 20% a maximum, right? So I guess what they're saying is that Yaakov Avinu gave 20%. Well, we'll get to that in a second. Yeah.
So why wouldn't you need a pasuk? Because
I need a pasuk to make a takana. I'm saying like. It's a takana susha. It says Shema Yeyani v'itzdarach labrios. Maybe you'll become poor, right? So, okay. So maybe you'll become poor is good enough. Why do I need a pasuk that Yaakov Avinu was willing to give 20%? Yeah.
What was the pasuk in reference to you? What did Yaakov do again?
Yaakov said basically, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu, if you take care of me, right? V'nasanli beged lo bo shemayim." I don't remember the whole lashon. I don't want to embarrass myself, but basically, he says, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu, if you take care of me." Right? If you basically, Yaakov basically said, if you give me the necessities of life, you know, something to the effect of, you don't let anybody kill me, you give me what I need to survive, then anything you give me, I will give you double meiser. I'll give you 20%, one chomesh. Right? So really, like, okay, so that's a nice pasuk if you want to make an asmachta for... If you want to make an asmachta for the din of hamavazvez ayivazvez yosim echomish, why are we bothered that we should need a pasuk, and then we're bothered further? Yeah, but the pasuk is not a good enough limud. Who cares if it's not a good enough limud? Like they made it up in Sfarad and Afshayu. They made it. They said like you don't want to be poor, so don't give more than 20%. Right. So I was thinking basically that first of all. I mean, you'll see there's a very easy answer. Well, we'll save the easy answer for last because, you know, probably it's the best answer. So there's a very easy answer. But before we get to the easy answer, just in terms of, if you hold like the Ritva, I don't know if you remember, we mentioned the Ritva in Maseches Rosh Hashanah on Daf Tezayin, takes issue with the Rambam's definition of an asmachta. Right? So the Ritva holds that asmachtas are real, meaning they're real gzeros akasiv, that are, of course, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote down the Torah, he intended it to be that way, and the Maral in, I forget the name of this, which sefer, it's mamash in the very, very beginning of one of his svarim. I'm tempted to say Ber Agola, but I'm not sure. It could be the very beginning of Sefer Ber Agola. He writes the basic biur in that school of thought of the Ritva, basically, that if you darshan this, it's not that there's such a din, Hamavazvei, Zayivazvei, Yosei Michomesh, found in the Pasuk, but rather that through the Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu reveals his general ratzon. If you learn the Torah correctly, you can basically, you know, dial into what the ratzon Hashem is. And memela, when you have a takanas chachamim, then you could be masmichet on the pasuk, which is demonstrating, yeah, there's clearly a ratzon Hashem that's floating around that I should make a takana that basically brings home this theme, and therefore it's very important that we have a pasuk which gives us this theme, because it's and not only that, but it's very important that we get the number right, because it's not enough to just have. Yeah, the Pasuk uses a phrase, Asera Asrenu Lach, but how much is that? Is that 20%? Is it 19%? So basically, when we get it right and we say, yeah, that not only is there a Pasuk which supports this Yisod, but also the Pasuk is telling you an amount, we want to make sure that amount is correct. And therefore we say, Kol Asher Titemi Asera Asrenu Lach. It makes sense if you learn like the Ritva. Yeah.
I don't understand how to answer the first question. Why can't you even get the Kana without a Pasuk?
So again, you don't need a Pasuk to be a Takana, but in other words, it makes sense to look for a Pasuk. If you hold like the Ritva, it makes much more sense to look for a pasuk. Yeah, meaning not just that, but in terms of who says that this is, who says that this is part of the Jewish hashkafa to make such a takana? Maybe I could hear just as many people saying, no, if you give money, you know, Hashem will take care of you. So who says you're supposed to put any cap on the spending, right? So you hear the Taina to say no. Yaakov Avinu said, "V'chol asher titen li aser asrenu lach." So you see that Yaakov Avinu was a fairly firm individual, and he gave 20%. So don't give more than 20%. Yeah.
And why is it not a good answer?
I think it is a good answer, but
why is it not?
It only works according to the Ritva. If you hold like the Rambam, that asmachtas are basically once you already have the takana, then you look for a pasuk to sort of shtup the takana into the pasuk, so people will remember it better. So then, what do we need? At the end of the day, we don't need a pasuk. So, Lu Yitzir, you want to say, no, we always look for a pasuk because we want people to remember the Takanas Chacham. So you look for a pasuk b'seder. But to then say the pasuk has to be so meduyuk that it fits into the Takana perfectly, doesn't seem like such a big deal. You know. So this answer, I think, works according to the Ritva. But according to the Rambam, we're a little bit stuck. So if you look in the Gilyan Hashas has an interesting Yerushalmi here. He quotes, Rabbi Kiv Eger quotes the Yerushalmi in Meseches Peah in the first parak, and he writes, Kach hoisa halacha biyadam. They had, Pashas, he means halacha Moshe Misinai. They had some type of a Kabbalah. V'shakchua, and they forgot it. V'chazru v'omdu hashniyim v'hiskimu adas rishonim. So apparently there was an earlier halacha. Seems like it sounds as if he's saying it was halacha deraisa. And what happened was is it got forgotten. So in Usha they sat down and they sort of reinvented the halacha, you know, for a second time. So in other words, if you hold like that, then it makes a lot of sense why they were looking for a pasuk, right? If you hold like that, it makes a lot of sense that they were looking for a pasuk to be masmich their daslan, because they're saying we know that there used to be such a din, and for whatever reason people haven't been observing it. Nobody really remembered to go with such a din, but nevertheless, we wanted to find a pasuk that could give us guidance for how to make our din. So you could say like Rabbi Kiva Eger, and that's really obvious. I mean, if you hold like the Yerushalmi, then you don't have any more kasha. Meaning, of course, they're looking for a pasuk, and of course they want the pasuk to be meduyik because they're working within a pre-existing din d'oraisa. So if you hold like Rabbi Kiva Eger, you don't really have any more kashas. However, I mean, pashtus of the Bavli is that they don't hold like the Yerushalmi. You know, you could, the Bavli was really so interested in telling you that this was a pre-existing halacha, they would have probably have mentioned it. And certainly if you hold like the Rif, that the Bavli, whenever the Bavli goes against the Yerushalmi, it's Dafka arguing on the Yerushalmi, right? That's the famous last Rif in Erevin, where the Rif writes that everybody in the Chachmei HaBavli knew the Talmud Yerushalmi already by the time that they published the Bavli. They knew the Yerushalmi cold. And therefore, anytime the Bavli says differently than the Yerushalmi, it's really considered a machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi. We always pasuk like the Bavli. All right, so that's a debatable point. Certainly, the Ur Sameach would say that the Rambam often pasuks like the Yerushalmi against the Bavli. But even so, if you hold like the Rif, so then our Gemara is really arguing on the Yerushalmi. Doesn't hold. Holds the Mamash was a din derabbanan. So you're a little bit stuck. Why is it that they needed this pasuk, and why is it that needed the pasuk to be kach? Meduyuk, that it was so so exact. So I don't know. I looked back in my notes on Kiddush and I saw that I wrote this down. I'm now that I see it again, I'm not so into it. Basically, midaraisa, it sounds like a person would be chayiv to give kol hon beso. Meaning, and we'll talk a little bit more about this. Meaning, when they were mesakein hamavaz v'zayivaz v'yosim mechomesh, so how much do you have to give midaraisa? Stama everything. So in other words, Mistama, you're not mechuyev. Excuse me. You're not mechuyev to give everything. You're allowed to give everything, but the Rabbanim wanted to put a cap on it. The Rabbanim wanted to say, listen, we'll discuss why maybe they wanted to put a cap on it. But the Rabbanim wanted to put a cap on it, and they decided the cap should be a certain amount. Maybe they wanted to put a cap on it to say that you should give less. Maybe they wanted to put a cap on it to say that you should give more. So what the Gemara is really asking is, where did they come up with 20%? What's 20%? Let the guy give 50%. Meaning Shema Yeyoni Bitztarach Labrios. There are some people that could become very poor giving 10%, and there's some people that could remain very rich giving 50%. So where'd they come up with 20%? So saying that basically when the Chachamim of Usha made their takana, they looked around in the Torah to try to find precedent for what does a good frum guy give? You know, so like maybe they wanted really that the guy should give less. But they said, Yaakov Avinu basically says, I'm going to give 20%. So once Yaakov Avinu says, I'm going to give 20%, so it's pasnished for the Chachmei Usha to come out and say, you know, really, you should give less than that. Or really, you should give more than that. You know, Yaakov Avinu is, we like Yaakov Avinu. It's, this is his last parsha that he gets discussed in the Torah. He's now, in this week's parsha, Yaakov Avinu is the Zaken. He's looking down on future generations. He's a Kadosh, he's a Tahor. You know, I'm saying, so Yaakov Avinu, you can't really do much better than that. So Lameisa, at the end of the day, we're not going to deviate from what Yaakov Avinu said he was going to do. So that's maybe what it means when it says, Maikra, what's the pasuk? Meaning, where'd they come up with this number? Where'd they come up with 20%? So the answer is, when they were looking to see what cap to put on it, Midrabanan, they said Yaakov Avinu is a good role model. Aye, so once you're using Yaakov Avinu for your role model of where you're getting your number from, so it makes a lot of sense that they're going to say, well, it's not really 20%. It's 19%. Why don't you make a cap 19%? So the answer is, it really is 20%. Yeah.
I don't know if the two are connected, but how can we say with Kiddur Mitzvah, so we say Ad Shlish?
Yeah.
Why is that Ad Shlish and not Ad Chumi?
No, I mean, there, Hidur Mitzvah, Ad Shlish. Well, we'll mention that Gemara in a second. So hold the thought. I'm not sure I'm going to... I think if you read the Gemara in Bava Kamma, it's a Gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Tes. I'm saying, like, really, if you do that Gemara, you have a Havamina that you would spend a fifth of your money. Ad Shlish, as we're going to see, means Ad Shlish B'mitzvah. Meaning, if the mitzvah costs $100, so you should add on another third for to make the mitzvah that much better. It doesn't mean Ad Shlish. What?
50, I thought it was 50.
50 what?
Tip of the potential.
The Gemara has a suffix, shlish mi lagav or shlish mi labar. How do you calculate the shlish? Okay, but whatever that suffix is, that's not relevant to us today. But I'm saying, like, but lamaisa, shlish is shlish b'mitzvah, as we'll see. Now, the maisa, the Gemaras are connected, but perhaps in a little bit of a different way. But Lamaisa, so that's what you have so far. If you learn like the Ritva, you could learn the Gemara very easily, that we're looking for an Asmachta the same way the Ritva is always looking for Asmachtas. If you learn like Rabbi Kiva Eger, so it makes a lot of sense also. And even if you just learn Pashup Shah like the Rambam, that Asmachtas are really not such a big deal. But we were looking for a model as to what number we were going for in terms of making our Takana. Okay, that's the basic idea over here. So just in terms of... there's a kasha that the Rishonim asked. The Shita Mekubetzis asked this kasha, and other Rishonim asked this kasha. So if we're looking for a number, we have a number, 20%. So why is it that the pasuk, if the pasuk is teaching me yisod, 20%, and we paskin that it is, it's saying aser asrenu is not teaching me 19%. I'm going to be meiser, and then I'm going to give another meiser. Rather, it's teaching me I'm going to give there, you know, two full meisers. So why is it that he doesn't use such a lushan of I'll give 20%? Why does he say I'll give 10 and 10? What's the chap? So the Shita Mekubetzes quotes from the he doesn't quote anybody there. He just writes on his own that we see from here that there's a very interesting yisod. It's a bigger inyan to give two people 10% than it is to give one person 20%. And he quotes from the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos on Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is Gimel Tezvav, Pirkei Avos Mishnah Tezvav, where the Rambam, the Mishnah uses such a lashon of Hakol Lefi Rov HaMaisa. Right? Everything is Cheshbin based on Rov HaMaisa. Basically, the Rambam explains that you can't compare a person who does many smaller maisim to a guy who does one humongous maisa. So the reason the Rambam gives, and the reason the Shita Mekubetzes gives, is that that when you do two maisios, let's say I'm a naturally cheap person, so when I give tzedakah, it's not so easy for me. So he says, let's say, so the average person, it's not so easy for him to give tzedakah. So he has to be shover his yetzer hara. So if I was giving $10 to tzedakah, or I was giving $100 to tzedakah, I probably have the same yetzer hara, don't give it, you know? So my yetzer hara is telling me both times, don't give the tzedakah, keep it for yourself, you know, you need the money, whatever. So I'm saying, so if you do a shvira sayetzer, if you break through your yetzer hara 10 times to give $100, or you just break through your yetzer hara once to give $100, so maybe you did a little bit of a more of a shvir sayetzer that one time, but at the end of the day, you'll have perfected your own character and you'll reap the benefit of doing the mitzvah 10 times much more than had you done it once for a greater amount. So that's the Shita Mekubetzes wants to say. That's why the Pasuk Dafka writes Aser Asrenu, to teach us this lesson that it's greater to train yourself to do more smaller mitzvahs than one huge mitzvah. Yeah. Right, meaning what? If that's really the message of the pasuk, then why not say it? Right. So happens to be, I didn't get a chance to look it up. I thought this thing would be over earlier, so I thought I'd come in at like 9:30 and look this up. But I saw a reference that there's a maral. You could look it up in the Chiddushei Agadus in Bava Kama on Chesam and Beis. I didn't get a chance to see what he says, who argues on this apparently. But nevertheless, that's the shita of the Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayos. It's the shita Mekubetzes by us, who quotes that Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos. But it's a fairly commonly known idea. But you can check out that Maral, see if he, I think Chesam and Beis in Bava Kama. I didn't get a chance to look at it. Okay. What about in terms of, is it ever permissible to give more than a fifth? Right? So, Pashup Shad is, the Gemara tells you the reason, right? Shema Yeyoni V'Yitztarach Lebrios, meaning, so let's say you're really rich. Let's say you have a ton of money and you want to give. You can give 80% of your money to tzedakah and you could still be wealthier than everybody else in the neighborhood. Yeah.
Are we assuming that we're going within the premise that since the reason's written next to the takana that if it changes, that it could change also?
Mistama, yeah, but let's just let it play out for 1 second. Yeah, our Gemara says, but Usha Iskino, Mavazi Zayivazi Yosem Mechomesh. Right? What's the lashon? It says, it says right next to Shema Yitztarech Lebrios. Maybe you'll become poor. So you could say the reason wouldn't apply there. If a guy's very wealthy, what are the chances that he? So we'll see. There's a way to get around that vort anyway. But let's assume now that it's written into the Takana. So you could argue that if you hold that, so maybe it's then it would certainly be permissible to give more money to tzedakah. What if you're a billionaire and you give $800 million to tzedakah? Somebody had $200 million left. Oh, Nebuch. You know, he's only worth $200 million. You know, so nice. It seems like it would be mutter for a person to give more tzedakah than 20%. But that's really dependent on how you learn pshat in this gemara. Meaning, let's say you learn pshat like the Yerushalmi. So if you learn pshat like the Yerushalmi, that there was really this halacha, either halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai or some other din d'oraisa that existed beforehand. So then who says that one, just because we say, generally speaking, by d'oraisa, is lo darshina diamond d'kra. So who says that just because the reason doesn't apply to you that you're allowed to give more? And similarly, like you said, maybe it's a din de rabbanan, but who says that the reason for the rabbanan was applicable in whether or not we determine that you should observe the derabbanan? Maybe the reason is, you know, it happens to be, we know what the reason was, but lamais, at the end of the day, it's a din de rabbanan, and we leave it at that. You know, so that's a question. Maybe you don't hold that way. Halacha lamaisa, we seem that we do hold this way. The Rav Yaakov Emden in the Shelas Yaivitz has a long tshuva. It's the third tshuva in the whole sefer. It's in Chelak Aleph Simon Gimel in the Shelas Yaivitz. He has a long tshuva about this whole topic. But lamaisa, he paskins very clearly that he says if you're an usher muflug, then it's certainly mutter for you to give way more than a chomesh. And he writes such a lashon that certainly if there's an ani in town who needs the money and no one else can take care of it, I mean, if the whole town could take care of it, so, you know, that could be an interesting vart based on the Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayos. Let's say you have this one guy who's just loaded, and everyone else in the town is regular. You know, they could, if they were giving meiser, the world would be a very wealthy place. So let's say you have this one super rich guy, and the shul needs whatever, and the mikveh needs whatever, and the yeshiva needs whatever, and this guy could push it through it all. So you want, yeah, here's the money for the shul, here's the money for the mikveh, here's the money for the yeshiva. Everything's taken care of from this one guy. So pashtus is, if you hold like that Rambam, that's not the way to go. It's not the way to go to have this one guy take care of it. Meaning just as you have this concept for an individual to engage in Shvir Sayetzer, that he should give enough tzedakah that it takes care, you know, enough times that it takes care of it. So too you should say for the whole neighborhood. Meaning don't have this one guy support the entire, do all the mitzvahs for the whole neighborhood. Let the neighborhood get involved in doing mitzvahs. Let everybody take a share in the mitzvah of tzedakah. Don't let this one guy build the whole shul. No, and I'm not talking about if he's going to, you know, politics, if he's going to control the shul and he's going to say it's my building, you know, my way or the highway. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying he's the nicest, best, most giving, caring guy in the universe. You know, all he wants to do is give, and he doesn't even want anybody to know, and all that stuff. I'm saying, but lemais, at the end of the day, what about everybody else's chelik? What about everybody else's mitzvah? What about everybody else's shavir sayetzer? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden does write in such a lashon that, of course, if there's aniyim who have no other means of support, then of course you should give more than a chomesh. No question about it. Okay, so that is that's Rabbi Yaakov Emden's tshuva, and in terms of the kasha of wait a minute, what about the fact that there is such a takana and maybe the reason for the takana doesn't apply? So if you look at the lashon of the Avas Chesed, the Chavetz Chaim has a sefer dedicated to all of the mitzvahs of Gemilas Chasadim, and he goes through some hashkafa, some halacha. It's a, you know, Kedarko Bakodesh. It's a fantastic sefer, and so it's in Chelik Bey's Perek Chaf. He writes the Perek Chaf in Chelik Bey's is dedicated to this din of Amavazvez Ayivazvez Yosem Chomesh. So he writes in such a lashon. He writes Mashma Beposkim. I skipped the line. Sorry. In lo mishu usher muflug, it's not talking about somebody who's an unbelievably wealthy guy. Mashma ba poskim da alav lo hoisa ha takana. Because if you read the poskim, it sounds like the takana was not made on such an individual. So it's interesting. The lashon he uses sort of circumvents this issue, meaning really, usually we institute takanas as a low plug, but the takana of amavazvi zayivazvi yosim yichomish was not instituted as a low plug. It was only made on the average person. It wasn't made on a chacham on an usher muflug. And therefore, we say that and he quotes the Tosfos in Bava Kamma and Daftes. So just to bring in that Gemara on Daftes and Bava Kamma, the Gemara has a discussion over there. Hider mitzvah ad shlish. So the Gemara says, what does ad shlish mean, right? So they say ilei mashlish beso means one third of your entire fortune. So elameata, but if you hold like that, yisrami le tlasa mitzvasa. Leisiv kula besa, meaning, so what? If he has three mitzvahs to do at once, he's going to have to give up his whole fortune. So that can't be right, right? El amar abzera behider mitzvah shlish b'mitzvah, right? So then they have that suffix shlish milagav shlish milabar teiku. They don't know, and then so fine. So Tosfos over there has two comments. Tosfos over there in Bava Kamma on Daf Tesem and Beis has two comments. says, first of all, he says, Ilei Meshlish Beso, meaning, so okay, so maybe Ein Achinami. Why do we dismiss that Havamina? He says, the mitzvah had Shlish. So he says, if, I mean, Shlish Beso, that's ridiculous, because then if he had three mitzvahs, he wouldn't have to do them. He'd run out of money, right? So Tosa says, why is that ridiculous? He doesn't ask the kasha, he answers it without asking it, but he says, why is that ridiculous to say that he has to give up all his money and do mitzvahs? We already know that there's a din, there's already a different din, which says that if somebody puts a gun to your head and he says, do this avera, give up all your money, you have to give up all your money. You know, and so too, let's say you only have $10 to your name, and you can get a McDonald's burger for a dollar, and you could get a Dougie's burger for Zichrono Lebracha. You get a Dougie's burger for $10. So you have to spend the $10. You can't, assuming that's the only thing to eat. You know, you have to spend the $10. You can't spend. You can't say, well, Pikuach Nefesh Ani is Chashiv Kemes. You know, you can't say that I'm allowed to buy the non-kosher food because I don't have enough money. He says you have to give up all your money to not violate a los hasei. So maybe the same thing should be true for mitzvah hasei. So Tosa says mashmad ein tzarich levazvis kol mamona liknos esrog. He says sounds from this gemara that to buy an esrog you don't have to give up all your money. Afilu lo yimatzi bepachos v'havi mitzvah overis. Even though, listen, if you don't buy it, you got nothing, and then the opportunity mekayim mitzvah dal minim is gone. So afilu shlish beso mashmad delo mechayev. So he says, and if you read the flow of the Gemara, it sounds like you don't even have to give up one third of your entire fortune. Right? So he says, and not only that, but we pass, and you don't have to give up even more than one fifth. Right? And then the next tells us, he says, Afilu Mayrib Isuraisa de Rebbe. Dasham Perak Matsiyas Aisha, Kol Makom Yadua Shlohaya Chayv Levazvis Kolkach. Even a guy who is as rich as Rebbe, you don't have to give up that much money. You don't have to give up literally your whole fortune, whatever. Or you don't have to give up a third of your fortune. So you see from Tosfos that there may be an issue of an extra wealthy person giving up more money than that, but not all of it. Right? The question is how much of it. We're not going to have time to do it now, but maybe next time we'll just get into the... So there's a Gemara in Kiddushin, which is Sosa, this Tosfos, that says clearly you don't have to give up all your money. It's push it like that. And the Gemara in Kiddushin, Sosa, the Gemara in Bava Metzia. And Bava Kama, sorry. Because the Gemara in Kiddushan, Chav Tesam Bay, says, let's say you only have five slime to your name. Right? And you have a chance to do Pidyon HaBen, and there's two Pidyon HaBens necessary. Right? You didn't get a Pidyon, unless you're a Baal Tshuva, and you're a Bechor, and you have a Bechor. So you need a Pidyon HaBen on yourself, and you need a Pidyon HaBen for your son. So the Gemara declares who should get it. Right? So the Gemara says, you go before your son. Right? So, what do you mean? None of you should go. Saying you're spending your last dime on a pidyon aven. It says beferish in the Gemara in Bava Kama that you don't have to spend kolhon beso. And not only that, but he's violating takana susha. Okay, so there's a lot of terutzim to that kasha. But lemaisa, so the Gemara in Bava Kama sounds very clear that you're not chay, that you're certainly not chayav to give up all your money, right? And even and Tosas throws in not even more than one fifth of your money. But if you're very wealthy, so then it's possible that takana doesn't apply to you. There just happens to be a couple of other rules, and I do want to speak more about this topic. But a couple of rules that the Avos Chesed brings up, it's a long chapter. I saw quoted somewhere that Reb Chaim Kanievsky has a sefer where he summarizes this chapter in Avos Chesed into six rules. I'm not sure if I came up with six, but I didn't do such a great reading, so I'm. As in general, I'm willing to guess that he did a better reading than I did. But even so, he has a couple of important yisodos. Number one, like we said, that if you're an usher muflug, you can give more than a fifth.
One
thing to keep in mind, giving meiser is not a chiv. There is one daya that the giving meiser is a chiyuv, but we paskin in Shulchan. The Shulchan Aruch quotes a daya that giving meiser. We paskin giving meiser is midas beinanis. Giving 20% is midas chasidus. Giving 10% is midas beinanis. Right? But it's not a chiyuv. We don't paskin that it's a chiyuv. We paskin it's a minig tov. It's a good thing to do to give meiser. But of course, if you're not a wealthy person, well, I don't mean wealthy, but I'm saying if you don't have the money to give, and it's just a question of, you know, are we going to eat tonight, or am I going to give my meiser? There's certainly no chiyuv to give meiser. So you have to be careful about that also. You have to know, you know, I forgot who. I don't want to say a name. One of the older Rosh Yeshiva in YU who, you know, from the European Rosh Yeshiva used to yell at the Kolo guys who used to give Meiser from their Kolo checks. He's saying, "What? He says, you're giving Meiser, it's a waste of time. Like, you're getting all this money from your parents anyway. He says, it's just going to make your parents spend more money. So who are you to give Meiser on your parents' cheshbon?" Saying, it's not a chiv to give Meiser. He would say, "I don't want Meiser. It's not." You have to keep that in mind. Certainly anyone who can afford it should give Meiser. And halavai, you know, whatever. I have this whole idea that turns out I was listening to a shir from Ramir Tversky. He said the same part. Not exactly the way I said it. My idea is very simple. If you want to solve the tuition crisis, I have a very simple solution. Every person who makes a chasana or a bar mitzvah or a bas mitzvah or whatever, just knock it down one madrega. So if you were going to have a $60,000 chasana, have a $50,000 chasana, and give $10,000 to your kid's yeshiva. Saying if you're going to have a $30,000 bar mitzvah, have a $25,000 bar mitzvah, give $5,000 to your kid's yeshiva. Tuition will not only remain the same, it'll decrease tremendously. Saying, I know families who make chasanas, the chasana and the kala have nothing. Families making a chasana for $60,000, they're not going to have any money to give to the chasana and the kala afterward. Saying, don't worry, he spent it all in one night. Saying, if you would imagine, if the chasana and the kala would say, we found $60,000, but we went to Vegas that night, we gambled it away. But what a great night. Oh, we had the best time. Saying, the parents would shoot him. I don't see the difference. Anyway, Lamaisa, whatever. Okay, some other time. Anyway, so the Chafetz Chaim has a few more rules. He quotes from the Shulchan Aruch. This is Shulchan Aruch in Yoredei, Reish Mem Tes, Sif Aleph, that when a person is dying, he's allowed to give away everything. And in Pashat Pshat, I mean, it makes obvious sense that, like, if the whole Chashash is maybe he's going to become poor, so can't take it with you anyway. So let him give it away at that point. Gives another, he says, that's another thing, is he wants to argue that maybe there's only a din, you're not allowed to give more than 20% if the aniyim, if you're deciding which tzedakah is to give to. But if an ani comes to your door and he pashut needs money, there you're allowed to give. Even if he gave your 20% for the month, you're still allowed to give 20% to that ani because he's here now and he needs money. Right? Okay. Similarly, he quotes also by the Shittim Kubetzis by us, in the piece before the piece I quoted, that this doesn't involve Hachzakas HaTorah. To be Machzik Talmud Torah, you can give more than 20% also, because he says there it's an investment. You're getting something in return. Meaning Yisachar and Zvulun, so Zvulun would invest money in Yisachar. In other words, he wants to get Olam Haba, so he's making it. It's not like a case where you're just giving your money away. Here, you expect, you're buying a commodity. You're buying a chelik in this person's Talmud Torah, so that's permissible. All right, let's leave it at that. But maybe next time we'll talk a little bit more about this. Then we'll have a little more time then.